All right, go with me if you would to 1 John, the second chapter. This is another passage of scripture we've been traveling through for several weeks. We have a few breaks and then we come back to it. But 1 John, the second chapter. We'll start reading in the 28th verse and read through chapter 3, verse 3. Everybody ready? All right, here we go. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We bless you again today, Lord, and thank you for this group of people who have lingered and waited for your word again this afternoon. Open the eyes of our heart, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking about some features of the believer's hope. We've done that for several services now, and we're back to it again today. The first feature of the believer's hope was that we abide in him. We talked about abiding in the vine and how it was a true sign of a believer if we abide in him. And this word of God here bears that out, as well as other portions of scripture would also bear this very thing out. The second feature of our hope was our righteousness, which is in him. We are right in right standing with God because of what Christ Jesus did on Calvary. I'm glad for that today, but God expects not only for us to be righteous because of Christ, but he expects for us to live a righteous, holy, set-apart life, a sanctified life. God expects that of you and I. I don't think that there's any other way to live other than a set-apart, sanctified life. Now, you're going to make mistakes in the process. We know that, and you know that God allows for that, and that we preach that. You'll make mistakes in your journey. But that doesn't mean that you're to be cast aside. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. But it does mean that you continue, you pick yourself up, you pray through, you ask forgiveness, and then you continue living for God the best of your ability. And the righteousness that you experience is because of the righteousness that is through Jesus Christ. It's not of works that you've done. There's nothing you can boast about. It's all about what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. It's by grace you are saved through faith. That's why you're saved today. You are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. So believe that. You have been born of him, so that's where your righteousness comes from. You can't attain it on your own, so you need to understand that. So we have the Father's righteous nature in us, so that's a second feature. And then, and also another part of that second feature is righteous living. We have the Father's righteous nature in us when we get saved. Some says, I can't do it, but yes you can, because he implants, if you would, his nature in you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a different person. And you shouldn't be the same person today that you were yesterday. You should be advancing. Even if it's ever so slowly, you should be advancing forward in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he has put it in you. You have the nature of Christ, the nature of God within you. So today, the third feature of our hope as believers is that we have the love of God has been initiated into our hearts through our salvation. Our salvation is another feature of our hope. We're going to be saved. We are saved, but we're going to be saved. You get the difference. You got saved, but you're going to be saved. Or you're going to reach the safe harbor. You're going to reach your place of destination. This world is not your home. We're heading somewhere different. We're on a journey right now, and we're heading to heaven. And that's our final destination, and you're going to be saved. That's a hope that we have today, that His love was initiated in our life to save us to the uttermost, to take us to that final place in Him. And we haven't got there yet. We have not attained yet. If you're alive today, how many of you are alive today? Well, okay. Some of you are. Some of you may be fading away. I don't know. We're alive today. You're still breathing, living human beings on this side of the grave. You've not arrived yet to where you're going, but one day you're going to arrive. And that's a heavenly place, a heavenly home that Jesus said He went to prepare for us. And so that's a hope today that we have. And so that should cause an outburst of wonder in our lives. Man, God loved me enough that He saved me, and now He's prepared a place for me. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." There's an exclamation point in my Bible at the end of that verse. Maybe I ought to read it with a little more emphasis. But He says, "Behold," and "behold" would be a word that would say, "Listen up, I got something to say here to you. I've got something important that you need to listen to." But it says, "Behold," and He goes on, "What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." That we should be called the children of God. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts, and now because of our salvation, we are called the children of God. No other person on people on earth can say that. The Muslims can't say that. The Buddhists can't say that. The atheists certainly can't say that today. All the agnostics, they can't say that today, that they're the children of God. But you and I can stand up and boldly shout, "I am a child of God." And that's my hope today, that I am in Christ. Amen. So anyway, we have that hope, and so He did that for us. Look at Ephesians, the first chapter. We'll look at verses 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 6 reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Let's stop there for a minute. He says He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. I don't know why people are grumbling. I can't understand why we're complaining. I don't understand why we're dissatisfied with our relationship with Jesus, and why we'd be dissatisfied with life when after the life of God comes in us, the Bible states clearly that we have every spiritual blessing that God has at His disposal. It has been placed at our disposal to have everything that God has to offer. It's been given to us today. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Don't you believe that? You ain't grasping this. Come on, God's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. Everything you need. And He goes on to say, just as He blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. When you become a Christian today, the Bible states that before you were even really thought of, before the foundation of the world, God already thought about you. God already planned for you. God already made a way for you that you could be born again and receive the blessings and receive the love that He has for you. And He is predestined that you be adopted as sons to Jesus, by Jesus Christ to Himself. Man, what manner of love God has. And He said, before you were even thought of, I've already got a plan for them. I already have good things in store for them. I've already prepared a heavenly place for them. But until they get there, if they'll accept me as Savior, I have spiritual blessings beyond what they could ever imagine or think about. That's our God, ladies and gentlemen. And we take it for granted. Some don't accept it. Many don't believe it. And oftentimes we forget it. And live our lives and just without joy. No peace. Fear runs rampant. When God says, I've got everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. I thought I loved you before you were born. I loved you even before the foundations of the earth were in place. I already made a way where there didn't seem to be a way. All you got to do is put your faith in me. God's a good God. It says he did that by Jesus according to the good pleasure of his will. According to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. Why'd he do it? Just cause he wanted to. Cause it made him feel good. He made sure he could make a way for you if you just accept it so he could feel good. Now he wants you to feel good about what you've got from him. We don't need to be taking it for granted. Too many people do. They just take it for granted. And they think everything's okay, but I tell you, church, it's going to take a church that's purifying themselves. Church that's making themselves ready. Not just everybody's going to make it. I'm sorry, they're just not going to do it. I know it's not popular, but it's just not going to happen. You got to be ready. You got to make yourself ready. You got to stay ready. So that's a hope we have today. His love was initiated before our salvation. Come to fruition at salvation. And we're living it out today. The love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. However, we're not home yet. We used to have some friends or some people we went to church with, and trying to think of their names, Willine Bordeaux, brother and sister Bordeaux. And they made some albums in their time, and they was okay singers, pretty good singers, actually. But they sang a song, and it just now occurred to me. I just remembered it. It said, we're not home yet, children. How's the rest of it? We're not home yet, children, so get your eyes upon the Savior. A few more days to labor. Then we'll stand before our Savior. Something to that effect. You remember them singing that, Melissa? We're not home yet, children. So get your eyes on the Savior. You know, just a few more days to labor. You see, that's the ultimate goal of a Christian, I would think. When you get past just living for God here and serving Him with all your heart, your ultimate goal is to go to heaven and to be with Jesus one day. I think too many of us, too many times, getting our minds off of the final prize. And we begin to settle for something less. We begin to settle for the blessings that make us rich and add no sorrow to it down here. We begin to accumulate things down here and put pride in them and place worth upon them when really they ain't worth nothing in comparison to our final heavenly abode. When we go to be with Jesus, I don't have a problem with anybody having anything down here. I don't have a problem with it. I hope you're all blessed beyond measure and you can look at it and say, God gave it to me and God made it where I could do this and get this. But folks, if we get our mind off the final prize and all we're interested in is what we're getting down here, we have missed the point. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away. But His word will never pass away. Come on, that's what it says. I paraphrased it, but you get the picture. Heaven and earth passes away. This earth is going to pass away, but His word will never pass away, and His word will never return void, but it will always accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. It may not accomplish it in some people's lives because they won't receive it, but if you'll receive it, His word will accomplish much. And so we're heading somewhere, and that's where our final abode is. So we're heading to heaven, and when Christ returns, we're going to be reunited with Him, and He will reunite us with the Heavenly Father, who loves us with this immeasurable love. Look at Romans 8:17 for a moment, and let's see what it says, and see if there's anything I could make out of this. 8:17 says, "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together." Come on. You back it up. He says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Same chapter, verse 12. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Come on now, it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Come on, even now on this earth, we are the children of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God has blessed us with immeasurable spiritual blessings. It's beyond what we can get down here. I know things we have here are tangible blessings. I went to the store yesterday. I've been wanting to get me I just have to say something about my new blazer. I've been wanting to get one of these blue blazers for years. And I go in and look at them and try them on, look at the price, and hang it up. Yesterday I went into JCPenney's. Everything I got on today except my boots came from JCPenney's. Got them at Shepherd's. Cowboy show stop shop. I walked in there with my tennis shoes on and my unmarked Wranglers, and they looked at me like, "What do you want?" I went into JCPenney's yesterday. I had a $24 gift card I'd got for Christmas and hadn't used it yet. It was burning a hole in my pocket. And they had these blazers on sale, a $200 blazer for $79.99. An extra 20% off if you use your JCPenney's card. I got one. And I whipped out my JCPenney's card. Said, "Hold on a minute. I want to get me some brown slacks that matches that blue blazer because I like that look." And I went and tried me on a pair of brown trousers. I got them on. They come from JCPenney's yesterday. And I got them. They was marked $29.99. I got them for 20% off. Because I used my card. And I paid out and was leaving out of there. My wife says, "Did you use that gift card?" No. And the clerk goes, "We're having another sale next week. Bring it back." To me, that's a blessing. I got me a new suit for under $100. I'm feeling like a big shot today. I probably look like a big guy up here too. That's tangible blessing. But there's more to it than what I got down here. And guess what? This blazer and this pair of pants and them boots from Shepherd's, they're going to all wear out one day if the Lord tarries. But my heavenly home will never wear out. I'll never have a water leak. I'll never have to vacuum the floor. Or my wife will never have to vacuum the floor. The roof will never get a leak. I'll drink water from the rivers of living water up in heaven. The sun, I'll never have to pay an electric bill because the Son of God is the light of that city. That's an intangible that one day soon will be a tangible that I will receive if I'll remain faithful to God. You see, the world doesn't know us today, folks, but we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. I just read that to you. The world doesn't know us. They may think they know us. They may know a little bit of something about us, but the world really doesn't know us. We have the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We are the children of God. But really what happens, what the deal is here, we are pilgrims and strangers here now. Sojourners. A sojourner. Somebody just passing through. Really, we ought to be happy if we just have an old tent to live in. Because it's just temporary. Well, preacher, you going to trade your house for a tent? Not unless I have to. I'm not the outdoorsman type. I like hot and cold running water. I like to be able to go into the faucet and just turn that handle and water runs out. I like to go to that refrigerator, open it up, and peer in there. See what's in there good to eat. I'd like to do that. I like to pull out whatever I want and tell my woman to fix it. Well, I'd like to do that. I like the modern conveniences. I like what we've been blessed with. But that's not what it's all about. And really, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. I'm passing through. This world is not my home. My home is in heaven. Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15. Well, I don't think that's the one I wanted. Well, we know the world doesn't know us. Let's back up to that for just a moment. And when you read this scripture, it says here, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." The world doesn't have the mind of Christ today. If you'll talk to them, did I get the right scripture? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and run with it, okay? We have the mind, we should have the mind of, everybody's looking goofy up here. Well, that's normal. I'm sorry, darling. I'm glad you're back. I pick on you. We have the mind of Christ, and because since we have the mind of Christ, the world doesn't have the mind of Christ. You run across them every day and you try to talk to them, they don't have the same mindset that you have. Because you're thinking on different, you think on a different level than what they think on, because you're thinking of the future and you're thinking of heaven and you're thinking that you are passing through, but they're thinking of the here and the now and what they can get and what it takes to live and what it takes to survive. And our thinking should be a little different than that. Yes, we have some concerns, but we don't dwell on that. We shouldn't be dwelling on our concerns. We should be putting our faith in God. I put my faith in you. We sing that song, "I put my faith in you, no matter what the world may." What's the rest of it? Help me here. "No matter what comes our way, I put my faith in the Lord." So because my mind is, I have a different mindset, I don't worry about the things that the world would worry about. Come on now, you shouldn't be so as overwhelmed by what is going on around this world. You shouldn't be as overwhelmed about that as the world is. I understand we have some concerns, and I understand you ought to pay some attention. But when it comes right down to where the rubber meets the road, you need to understand that you're a Christian, and you look at things differently, and you understand by the shape the world is getting itself in, and you understand by the problems around our globe, and especially in the Middle East, that everything is lining up to the coming of the Lord. And if it's lining up for the coming of the Lord, should not the church, as the Bible gives direction, lift up your heads, looking towards the east, and expecting the clouds to roll back and the Son of God to appear at any moment? Wouldn't you think that would be our mindset, that we know that because of what's going on, that Jesus is soon to return, and until he returns, I have this mindset that he will take care of me. Will I maybe have to give my life? Maybe so. But the Bible says that death has no sting for the Christian. No matter what I go through, if my faith is in Jesus, then my mindset is different and I can handle whatever the world throws at me. You better get that mindset, because it's not going to stay as calm as it is till Jesus comes. It's going to change dramatically in the next few years. If he tarries. The terrorism's coming back to America. They're already plotting. One of their goals is the big mall in Wisconsin, I believe it is. Or Minnesota. Mall of America, that great big one up there. One of the hugest malls in America. They're already making plans to attack it. They want to bring it down. They want to infiltrate our soul again. Come on, church, you better get ready. If you don't have your mind set upon Jesus and your hope's not in Him, when these things begin to happen, you're going to lose heart. And I don't want you to lose heart. Hang in there. Our hope is beyond what's happening here. Fact is, no, I don't know if it's a fact, but just something to run across my mind, and sometimes you know how that is. Maybe the Christians ought to be the first one to join up to go fight terrorism. Because we got hope. They take my life, so what? I'm going to be with Jesus. I ain't going to go join up, but think about it. Go fight them dudes and give your life for Jesus. I'm not going to join up, by the way, so don't get no petition or anything like that. That's just a thought that run through my mind. I didn't say it was something you needed to do anything with, okay? But think about it. Our hope's out of this world. The world doesn't have the hope that we have. Fact is, they're going to get desperate. Church, I don't mean to be a prophet of doom, but can you imagine what it's going to be like a day after the church is out of here? Can you imagine the turmoil that this world's going to be in? Can you imagine the evil that's going to be unleashed upon this earth? You don't want to be here for that. Let's keep our minds and our hearts stayed on the Lord. I talked to a lady the other day, and she said, Brother Dennis, the best, I've been doing a lot of studying on the coming of Jesus, and I've come to the conclusion that we're mid-trib. Oh, sister, I don't believe you. I don't believe that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I hope I'm not wrong on that one. Because I think Jesus is going to take us out of here before he, I just don't believe that he's going to beat his bride up, beat him black and blue right before he takes him to heaven. He tells us to keep the oil in our lamps, so be ready for such a time as you think not, the bridegroom comes. Well, people in the church are growing complacent and cold and indifferent, and they don't think Jesus is coming. Many preachers are turning their backs on the Lord and beginning to preach a false gospel. Churches, Presbyterian and the Methodist churches, are now in a squabble once again over ordaining and allowing homosexuality in their churches. Well, that's the same thing as saying we're going ahead, saying that homosexuals can be Christians. That's like saying a liar can be a Christian, a fornicator can be a Christian, an adulterer can be a Christian, an abuser of a wife can be a Christian, a pedophile can be a Christian. If you say they can be, and it goes, it's called an abomination in the Word of God, then anybody and everybody's a Christian. And it ain't so. They can all be saved. Every single one of them can be saved. They'll turn to Jesus. We can't allow it. It's against the Word of God. And they're compromising. Rob Bell, have you heard of Rob Bell? Former pastor, I forget where he pastored, but he come out with a book recently declaring that there's no heaven, there's no hell. Now, just this past few weeks or months, he got on Oprah's show and declared that homosexuality is all right, and the book's a 2,000-year-old antiquated book. Doesn't mean anything anymore. Scripture doesn't mean a thing. We've come into a new day and a new age with new thinking. False prophet. Going to go to hell with that false prophetess. You may like Oprah Winfrey, but she's as lost can be. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. But we're Christians. I know I got on some social issues there, and And they're not politically correct. My thinking's not politically correct. I understand that. But the world doesn't know us, shouldn't know us until they become one of us. And they'll never understand us until they do. Look at 1 Peter 4:3, and I'll try to wind this thing down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. Apostle Peter said this, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, and they speak evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to the Spirit." You see, that's the world. They live in lewdness, unrestrained, excessive sin. And they don't understand us when we don't participate in it. But we don't participate in that type of wickedness. We don't participate in any type of wickedness. Sin is a burden to any believer's life. And you ask God to forgive you of it and move past it. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, I believe, the 11th chapter, 24th and 25th verse, it says, "Seeing you have compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us then lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us." Is that somewhere? It's somewhere in there that it says that. We are to do that as Christians. Lay it aside. It may be something that comes upon you. It may be something that overruns you. But once it does, you lay it aside and you move past it, because you are no longer of this world. You're only in it. And you don't participate with it. Verse 2 in this same chapter says, and he says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we no longer walk in the flesh. We work and walk and live for the will of God. Amen? Amen. We're Christians and we're different. We have this blessed hope that the world doesn't have, nor will it ever have, until it turns to Jesus. There's going to be a lot of lost people because they will not turn to Jesus. But I encourage you today, continue in righteousness. Continue to live for Him. We have a love of God that was initiated into our lives before the foundation of the world. God loved you enough to send His Son Jesus to make a way where there didn't seem to be a way. And guess what? Even after you become a Christian, He still makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. He continues to move and live. We do continue to move and live and have our being in Him. In Him, we are, in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. And we're to live like it. We're to live like it, love like it, and act like it. We are God's people. Amen. Children of God. Amen. Well, would you stand? I think it'd be good again. We did this last Sunday.